reading is taken from John 1 and verses 10 to 18, and in the Church Bible you can find that on page 1063. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and lived for a while among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the only Son, who is at the Father's side, has made him known."
Now, I need to obtain permission from the audience this morning, because I want to be positive about Christmas. Is that all right? I do not want to be negative, I want to be positive about Christmas. Is that okay?
Yes.
A few nods, that's good. I take that as an overwhelming yes. You'll see why in a minute. Now, I've got some exciting news for you. Christmas is getting closer. There is just one more shopping day to go. Who's going out shopping tomorrow? Look at this, nobody. Oh, one or two. Simon Easley, he's been so busy organising outreach, he hasn't had time to buy presents. So if you haven't had one from Simon yet, that's why. Children's excitement is building up. Credit cards are creaking. Bank balances are dwindling. And the turkeys are getting very nervous. And statistics show that at Christmas, accidents are on the increase. These are, I gather, genuine statistics. Since 1996, 31 people have been electrocuted watering their Christmas tree while the fairy lights were still on. 19 people in the last 3 years have been poisoned eating Christmas tree decorations they thought were chocolate. One hospital last year reported 4 broken arms following what they described as cracker-pulling incidents. And a massive 542 men were admitted to A&E in the last 2 years trying to open beer bottles with their teeth. Yes, it hurts, doesn't it? Now, I want to tell you, I love Christmas. I am over 21, as you can see, but I get like a child at Christmas. I just enjoy Christmas so much. I love presents. I realised this morning that the shirt I'm wearing and the top I'm wearing, it was Joy bought me last Christmas. And I've hardly worn them because that's so special to me. I just keep them for special occasions, like speaking to you this morning. And I love eating certain things. My favourite of all, never touch them during the year, but at Christmas, jelly babies, especially the yellow ones. If you want to buy me a present, buy me a pack of totally yellow jelly babies. But I also like mince pies. And they're like nuts. You get those little packet of nuts and don't normally eat those during the year. And homemade mince pies, of course. And also Christmas pudding with brandy on it. That's it, brandy, yes. But I hate sprouts. I'll come back to that. It's a big part of the talk this morning. And also, I enjoy... Who said they hate sprouts? Good girl. Good girl. I have a follower. I also enjoy, once we've seen the family... On Boxing Day, Joy and I are going to go away for a week's holiday, just on our own. That's the only thing I'll tell you. That's what it's called. That's the sign outside. I'm not telling you where it is. I don't want to be found up during this week. So I get excited about Christmas. To me, it's great fun. But equally, I get really concerned. I might even say I get angry sometimes when I hear preachers and church leaders and Christian organisations. So I'm talking about Christians going on and on and on and on about negative things about Christmas. That it's too commercial. We know it's too commercial. The real meaning's got lost. We know that. And even now, we're down to conspiracy theories going on. I received an email that other people received recently from Reach Out Projects in St Albans. They're an Anglican organisation. And the email said this, and I quote, "Royal Mail has traditionally alternated between sacred and secular designs for their Christmas stamps." Perhaps I should put this on at that point. They're the said things. "The main set of designs this year available to all is of angels, which is vaguely Christian, but not explicitly so, and certainly not specifically Christmassy." I'm definitely popping, aren't I, this? Can you pull it down a bit? I can shout a bit. That's better. Thank you. Okay. Now, apparently, according to this email from an Anglican source, they have also issued a Madonna and Child design for first and second class only. They're on the screen there. And post office staff have been instructed to sell only this design if people specifically request it. Now, obviously, people can't request it if they don't know it exists. So if people don't buy these stamps, the email goes on, Royal Mail will claim there is no demand for religious Christmas stamps and not produce them in the future. Please, therefore, ask for Madonna and Child stamps when you do your Christmas posting. It's too late now, isn't it? And also tell your friends and contacts. Thank you. But it doesn't end there. Because the Royal Mail said this. "There is absolutely no intention on our part to suppress sales of the Madonna and Child stamps in order to be able to claim there is a low demand for religious stamps in the future. Indeed, we have produced tens of millions of them and we want to sell them." Fair point. "We have given publicity to both types of Christmas stamps and availability of both have been widely covered in the national and local press. Furthermore, we plan to have Madonna and Child stamps available every Christmas in the future." So you can go and ask for them next year. "And each year's special set, which will continue to alternate between religious and secular themes." It's a rumour. I've been on the website trying to find an apology or a retraction. Haven't found it yet. Perhaps they don't know. Someone, no one's told them yet. Christian organisations doing negative things about Christmas. Now, I believe all of us understand here this morning that the real reason for the season is Jesus. It wasn't been for Jesus, there wouldn't be Christmas in the way that we know it. But if our message is so negative all the time and so down on people, then we're becoming 21st century Scrooges. Do you like that one? It looks like somebody in the church, but I'm not allowed to say who it is, Tony. But over 400 people came to our carol service in this room, in this building, last Sunday night. Over 400 people were here. That's good news. But I heard one or two people say that they only come once. I'd rather them come once than not at all, wouldn't you? It's a positive approach to this. And a non-Christian friend of mine, I used to work with some years ago, attended a nearby Anglican church, carol service, it was a few years ago now, and she said to me, "I'll never ever go back again." So I said, "Well, why? What did happen? Did the candles burn the church down, or did something exciting happen like that?" She said, "No, it was the sermon. The sermon just went on and on about people only turning up to church at Christmas." Well, she'd done that, and then she was being told off for doing it. And also the fact that people didn't put much money in the offering, they spent a lot more on alcohol. So she decided not to go. I don't blame her. If I wasn't a Christian, and that's what I heard, I'd do the same thing. Now, because I was interested in what people think about Christmas, I found a website. You can find a website for everything. This is called What's Wrong With Christmas website. And people had obviously emailed in. Well, I'll give you a very quick, because we are going to get to the text in a minute. Dennis is worrying when I'm going to get to the Bible, but I will, Dennis, eventually. What's Wrong With Christmas? And these are the things that came up. And it would be interesting to see how you feel about these. First one is, starts too early. I agree with that. Father Christmas arrived in November. The lights went on in November. That's in Kingston. That's early. Too early. Agree with that. Stupid outside decorations. Hundreds of pounds worth of lights sparkling and inflatable Santas and snowmen. I know what you think about that. You like it. You like it. Okay. Anybody else? No, we won't have a vote. I just think, but it was these people that emailed in said they can't stand that. songs that come back to haunt us. Merry Christmas, Everybody by Slade is a great song. Do They Know It's Christmas by Band-Aid is brilliant. But when you've heard it 173 times, it gets a bit much. I do feel for the shop assistants, don't you, in Kingston? Because we go in and we hear it in the background. They hear it hour after hour after hour after hour. And then the pressure of shopping, of card writing, and visiting relatives. I've had one or two cards from people, because I sent mine early, they've come late, and I'm thinking they weren't going to send me one, but because I sent them one, they had to send it back. Yeah. Now, I've got some Christmas shopping statistics for you. We're going to get to the text in a minute, Dennis. We spent an average, you and I spent on average 15 hours Christmas shopping, apart from Simon Easley, who obviously hasn't spent any hours yet. And 25% of that 15 hours is waiting in a queue. You can believe that one. This year, £10 billion will be borrowed to pay for Christmas. £10 billion.
That's just Simon Easley.
And that's just... And 41% more alcohol is consumed this period than the normal average for us in Britain. So my bedroom is already full of bottle bags, which I hope have wine in them. So I'm definitely fulfilling that statistic. This list goes on. Christmas TV. How many times have you seen The Sound of Music? How many times have you watched The Great Escape? Carol singers. We had some the other night. We were eating our dinner and we heard carol singers. Suddenly we realised it wasn't carol singers, it was a machine playing carols.
We sang last night.
Good. And the knock on the door came and Joy and I looked at each other and said, we're not going. Because I only feel guilty. I'll give them a quid and they'll look at me like you should give me five. And there's not even any people there, apart from the person knocking on the door. And it's all over in a day. Isn't this true? The build-up. Hey, children get so excited at school, and they build up, and suddenly it's all over. And many people do feel quite depressed and flat on Boxing Day and the days after. And this wasn't on the list of what's wrong with Christmas, but this is my favourite, sprouts. Do you know, this week up to Christmas, 4 million sprouts are bought in this country. 4 million! And it's my opinion that 3.5 million of them are left on the plate at the end of the Christmas meal.
Very good point.
Who likes sprouts? Come on, listen. Yeah. Who hates sprouts? Good, there's a few of us. Yeah, well, Pauline, well done. Okay, see Peggy afterwards for the recipe. It's obviously... Okay, and then of course we can moan about the political correctness approach to Christmas. Decorations are banned. Apparently in 2005 survey showed 70% of companies said they'd done this in their offices. And schools are cancelling nativity plays. A 2004 Morrie poll said only 40% of teachers polled said that their school would be having a nativity play. And local authorities are changing Christmas to Winterval. Well, they are in Birmingham anyway. Where I come from, I'm not proud of that. But that's a picture of Winterval. Doesn't look much different to me, but that's Birmingham in its glory of lights, the stars shining. Now these people do this, they ban decorations and nativity plays and Christmas because they think that Muslims and Jews and other religions will be offended. Yet every time they've been interviewed, questioned and asked, they're not offended at all. They expect us as a Christian country to celebrate Christian festivals. It's no issue to them. And so, and we could get very negative about this. And I want to be positive this morning. So I believe, and oh, by the way, that at the same time this is all going on, attendances at church at Christmas since the year 2000 have gone up and up and up and up. So something's happening that people are still thinking about Christmas in a, in a positive way. So I want to suggest this to you, that we need to proclaim a Christmas message. Could you get me some water, please? A Christmas message that tells the truth about Christmas and does so in a way that produces wonder and amazement. That's what I want, don't you? The kids find it exciting already because it's just presents. I know they've got a focus, that's not quite right. But Christmas itself is a wonder and amazement, not the criticism and not the negativity. And so the reading that Joy gave to us, we've got to it, Dennis, said this, the word became flesh, or... as the New Living Translation says, the Word became a human being. The Word became a human being. That is, to me, the most amazing message that Christmas brings. Now, the word word, are you still with me? The word word in the Greek is the word logos, L-O-G-O-S, logos. And to the Greeks, thank you so much. To the Greeks, the word logos means it's a principle of human reason. It was a power or a force of knowledge. And so if the Greeks in the days that John wrote this, the Greeks heard him use that expression of saying that this reason, this power of force, became a human being, they would just find it ridiculous, laughable, stupid, crazy. How can you say that? And to the Jews, and John writing that to the Jews, for the Jews, the word was an expression of God. Logos meant God to them. And so to call Jesus the Logos, the word, God, would have been blasphemous. Yet John, with intentionality, says this, writes this quite specifically. The word became a human being. Now, transfer yourself, if you can, in your mind, to the first Christmas story. The actual events going on in the stable. I have a picture for you there. A stable with Mary and Joseph happily cuddling a little baby, lying in a straw-filled crib or holding him as they are there. And there's cute and cuddly animals all around. You see the little pussycat? Isn't that lovely? The donkeys, the little sheep baaing away. And it's all such a lovely scene. It's actually nothing like what it was. We could try this, a more religious picture. Somehow Mary and Jesus have gained a torch behind their heads. Light is flashing behind them. Joseph doesn't get one, did you notice? I think that's Joseph to the left, right. He doesn't get one, he's not worthy of one. You know, I want this, if we can, remove from our minds this concept of Christmas cards and religious paintings. This clip from the Nativity that came out last Christmas is a bit more realistic. It shows a cave. Now, what the Bible calls a stable was either a cave that was next to a house or was, in fact, a room in a house, the lowest room of the house, where in the evenings, particularly in the winter times and the cooler times, they would bring the animals in to this lower part of the house. They do so not so much to protect the animals, but to provide warmth for the house, because animals pong a bit and they give warmth off. So Jesus was born where the animals slept at night. And let's be honest about this. How can I say it any better? It was a place where animals performed their bodily functions. It's a place where animals were animals. Then the manger. Those pictures of nicely made cribs by the best carpenter in Jerusalem, you know, and with all this lovely straw coming out. Not quite as it was. The manger was an animal feeding tray, almost certainly fastened to a wall. It wasn't nicely sat in the middle like the first picture we saw. And the straw was just food for the animals. Now, I tell you all that because I say to you, this is where Jesus was born. His first bed was borrowed animal feeding straw. It's a bit of wonder coming in now to me, it's a bit of amazement. This is the Logos. This is God come in the flesh. And you would, you know, Jesus was being born as a baby was one thing, but not coming to a flash house or a posh house or a palace or at least something better than this. But this is where he came. The Word became a human being. And I ask you also to consider some of God's names. The Bible tells us that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Godhead, the Trinity, are given names throughout the Bible applying to all of them. This applies to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. These names are like Almighty, these are some of them. Almighty, Lord, Most High, the Warrior, the First and the Last, All-Knowing, All-Powerful, All-Loving, Everlasting God, Life-Giver, Creator. And yet, in a smelly room, heated by animal sweat, lies Jesus. Who is all these names? Who is all these things? He's the Almighty One. He's the Lord. He's the Most High. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's all-loving. He's the everlasting God. And he lies in a feeding tray on borrowed straw. To me, that's a wonder. To me, that's amazing. I hope it is to you. Wesley caught it in his carol, which we're going to sing in a moment. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. God was with us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And in a lesser known Wesley Carroll, he says this, let earth and heaven combined, angels and men agree, to praise in songs divine the incarnate deity, our God contracted to a span. Our God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. And I didn't quite sure what span was. I knew it was some sort of measurement. So I looked it up. And apparently, if you stretch your hand out, a span is from the end of your thumb to the end of your small finger. That's a span. So Wesley's got something here, hasn't he? Almighty or powerful or wonderful or amazing God, the creator of everything, was contracted in human form, just a bit bigger than this. That's Christmas. That's a positive message, I believe, about Christmas. The Word became a human being and made his home among us. So I want to leave it there. We'll almost leave it there. And just to say, encourage you, if you're anxious about those who exclude Jesus from Christmas, I want to turn it into Winterval instead of Christ Mass. Don't worry. As someone called Peter Larson wrote, he said, despite our efforts to keep him out, God intrudes. The life of Jesus is bracketed by two impossibilities, a virgin's womb and an empty tomb. Jesus entered our world through a door marked no entrance and left through a door marked no exit. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He became a human being and lives with us and is alive today.
Okay, who can tell me what our last song is? Yep, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Let's stand.